lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, says this, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Well, Paul, in these verses that I just read, talks about three witnesses. And these three witnesses are concerning and are about his great and continual sadness for these people. There's someone bearing witness here. And these three, the three witnesses, first of all is Christ, Paul's conscience, and the Holy Ghost. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, once again, Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this. He says, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Well, this is a thing that is done throughout the Word of God. Just because one witness steps forward and says something, that does not make it so. But in the mouth of two or three witnesses, God says it can be established. And so what Paul is saying here is that he's establishing his sadness, and that is in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 that we read. He's establishing his sadness because he's showing that there are three witnesses, Christ, his conscience, and the Holy Ghost. We also see in verse 3 that Paul says this, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Well, let me remind you here that Paul the Apostle was made an apostle to the Gentiles. Although he was an apostle to the Gentiles, he still had a great desire for his brethren to be saved. And that are those Israelites that he's speaking of here, and he's speaking to in Romans chapter 9. Paul says that if it would do any good in verse 3 of Romans 9, and if it were possible, he could wish or desire to take his brethren, the Israelites, in the flesh, that he could take his brethren's place to be separated from Christ. Well, actually, we keep reading and we find out that Paul the Apostle, later on, he would actually sacrifice himself. He would give his life for the cause of Christ. And this was not only for the Gentiles, but it was also for the Israelites, for the Jewish people, for his Jewish brethren. Well, notice also in Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, we see Israel, the recipients of many blessings. Verse 4 says, who are Israelites? Well, it's not asking a question, it's stating a fact. It says, who are Israelites? Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Paul's saying here that these are the people that everything pertains to, the adoption to the Israelites, to the glory to the Israelites, the covenants to the Israelites, to the giving of the law to the Israelites, to the service of God to the Israelites, and the promises of God to the Israelites. He's telling us who his brethren are. The brethren Paul speaks of in these verses that we're looking at according to verse 4, of course, are Israelites, because they were made part of the nation of Israel by God. Well, these Israelites received admiration, the covenants of God, the law and the Ten Commandments, and they were allowed to work for God. And they also received the promises of God by being adopted by God. according to verse 4 of chapter 9 of Romans. Verse 5 of Romans 9 says, whose are the fathers? And again, it's not asking a question. It's stating a fact here. It's telling us who these people are. It says, whose are the fathers? And of whom are concerning the flesh Christ came? Who is over all? God bless forever. Amen. Christ came in the flesh, in other words. Well, these Israelites had human ancestors. And it talks about the fathers in verse 5. And these were the patriarchs. The greater donor was that Christ was and is greater than themselves and the ancestors. So Paul is presenting something here that is totally contrary to what the Jewish people believed in or what they had taught from the Pharisees. And those people who were supposed to be well-educated in Jewish tradition and Old Testament scriptures, the Pharisees, were wrong. And Paul was telling them, look, you're my brethren, you're Israelites. You had your fathers, the patriarchs, but you didn't listen exactly what the patriarchs were saying. And Paul here is giving them the plain plan of salvation. Once again, he's telling them that they had all this, and yet they refused Jesus Christ, who was greater than all of the patriarchs. Well, now in verses 6 through 29, then we see a kind of a division here that takes place. And we see in this division the true children of God. Remember, we've been looking at the Israelites. Paul's trying to convince these people they need to receive Christ just as the Gentiles were receiving Christ as Savior. In verse 6, God promises to Israel. The promise here refers ultimately only to those Israelites who become true children of God by faith. It says in verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. In Zechariah chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, it talks about the promise of God. This promise, the promise of God, will not fail just because early descendants of Israel, they're not true children of God. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 10 and 11 says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadadamram in the valley of Megiddon. God's promise is not going to be made null and void simply because all of Israel is not saved. Well, we think of this in the coming kingdom, the nation of Israel. We could say this will be the leading nation of the world according to Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 16. And they're going to rule with the 12 apostles, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But the Israelites who participated in the kingdom will only be those who have acknowledged the returning Christ as their Messiah and Redeemer. Of course, we've read that just now in Zechariah chapter 12. Well, in the meantime, the Israelites who accept Christ in this age are also a part of true Israel, while simultaneously being part of the Christian church. And in practice, they are no different from Gentile Christians. And the Bible says there's no difference, for there's neither bond or Jew, bond or free, Jew nor Greek. We're all one in Christ Jesus. But we see the promise of God. It's illustrated by Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, according to Romans chapter 9, verses 7 through 13. Verse 7 says this, neither because they are of the seed of Abraham are they all children. And once again, Paul's saying, all the people are not of Israel. All people are not saved, in other words. All people, they need something. The verse goes on to say, let me start again here, neither because they are of the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, all the biological children of Abraham And you can go back and read Genesis 17 and Genesis 25. And all the children of Abraham's children, only Isaac was in the line of promise. In fact, the promised seed in its ultimate fulfillment was none other than Jesus Christ himself. You can read Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16 in connection with that. Romans chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, Paul's saying, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Well, again, this has a dual application. Only those Israelites who are saved by faith in Christ participate in God's ultimate promises to the nation of Israel. And likewise, all who come to Christ by faith, whether Jew or Gentile, are spiritual children of Abraham, saved through the promised seed. And once again, that promised seed is Jesus Christ. We read in Romans chapter 9, verse 9, where it says, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And verse 10 says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Well, of course, this is talking about the promise that was to come. And Paul quotes from the Old Testament here. He quotes many times from the Old Testament, as we read in the book of Romans. So he's quoting here from the book of Genesis as we study through and look at the book of Romans. In verses 11 through 13, it says, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Well, God's purpose and choice was not based upon works. When it came to choosing the lineage that Christ would come through, it was not based upon works, just as salvation is not based upon works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saves anyone. These verses, Romans chapter 9, verses 11 through 13, we see the word loved. Oh, this means chosen. You also see the word hated there. This means rejected. But God sees things we don't see or understand. When we look at this and we see that word hated, we think, well, how could God hate anyone? It doesn't mean that God abhors someone. This means that he has rejected that person. Well, why would God reject anyone? Well, the Bible says that unless you come by the way of the cross, you have been rejected. It's not that God has rejected you. It's because you have rejected God. God says through Jesus Christ, if anyone would look to him for salvation, they will be saved. The Bible teaches us that Jesus made the statement that if he would be lifted up, he would draw all men unto him. And of course, we know that he was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. So God does not reject anyone simply because they're a person. They are rejected because they have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Remember, God wants everyone to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Why? So they can go to heaven. So they can have eternal life, so they can serve God in spirit and in truth. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why not turn to him now and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I can't save myself. I'm going to go your way because you are the only way to heaven. Please come into my heart. Save me. If you'll pray a prayer like that, mean it in your heart, then God will save you. Get serious with God and he'll get serious with you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.